Thursday, February 3rd. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Expo Line Construction Authority meeting. We will begin by Madam Secretary calling the roll.
Director Molson?
Here.
Director O'Connor?
Here.
Director Parks? Director Perry? Director Ridley Thomas? Director Leahy? Director Yaroslavsky? Chair Wesson?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Okay, that brings us to the minutes. It's been moved and seconded that we accept the minutes. There are no objections, so without objection, we'll adopt the minutes from the December 2nd meeting. Madam Secretary, that brings us now to what item on our agenda?
Item 4, public comment.
I'd like to call up Mr. Clint Simmons, who's got several items. So, Clint, you'll be given 3 minutes. Robbie Hunter, 1. Kim Kraft, 1. Please come forward.
Good afternoon, board member. My name is Clint Simmons. I'm representing the Expo Community United. I'm here today because we are having some real problems with noise during the construction phase of this contract, as well as we have some sound wall problems that noise will be anticipated once the trains start running. And there must be something done to alleviate this. The city of Los Angeles have a total of 14 hours that you can work in the daytime. That's two more than the highest of the city within the county, and we don't know why they can't get it done within that length of time. I know I'm one, and where I live is a lot of senior citizens, and we can't afford to be being up at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. The next item that I want to talk about is the engineering changeovers. This is something that I have talked about on many, many occasions, and I have asked why this board do not question when an engineering change order comes through. I like to read Engineering Change Order 6C today. It says that authorize the Chief Executive Officer to issue a contract amendment to FFP, a joint venture, for contract C2 to remove unsuitable soil for mechanical earth stability wall 1, 2, 3, and 4 at a lump sum price of $386,800. Now, that's one area not a... I want to read another engineering change order. This one comes from January the 14th of 2010. Authorize the CEO to issue a change order to Parson and Company here for earth stability, wall 3, 4, 7, and 8 in a lump sum amount of $550,000. One of the things that I have here, because what has happened is we have an engineering change order for the same unsuitable soil, and ladies and gentlemen, that is what you call criminal intent. And I am one, and I don't think the government is going to continue to allow this Expo Authority to get away with overcharging the taxpayers as you're presently doing. And this is why we do need what we call a IG, the Inspector General, in order to look over these particular engineering change orders. If you take a look at January the 14th, 2010, item 6A, and then you look at item 6C of February 3, 2011, you'll find they're moving the same soil for the same projects. And this is not the first time that I have brought this out, and I'm sure that within me is looking at it, and this is criminal intent. And I don't see how you, the board, you are the ones approved it, so therefore you must also bear the responsibility. I've yet to hear any of you ask the question. Just take a look at January the 14th, 2010, then look at February the 3rd, 2011. And it took me almost 2 months to get the copy of that because I think to know what happened.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons. Right.
Thank you for giving me a chance to speak. And believe me, you guys, you better get
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Simmons. Robbie.
Hello. My name is Robbie Hunter.
I'm a representative of the L.A. Orange County Building Trades Council, and I'm here today to speak on the Project Labor Agreement. The building trades here in Los Angeles and Orange County represent 150,000 construction workers and apprentices. We're excited about this Project Labor Agreement. We've had $60 billion with the agreement in L.A. And Orange County. Some of them as long as 10 years with LAX, who just recently renewed theirs unanimously for another 10 years, both because of the financial benefit in the local hire for workers in L.A. County. The numbers coming in at LAUSD is 68% of all people that worked on LAUSD projects were L.A. County residents. 71% of all man hours worked at LAUSD were done by L.A. County residents at an average wage of $31, and we're excited about this agreement at the Expo Line, and we hope that you'll approve it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, question of time allowed. Is it 3 minutes or only one?
One if you're on one subject.
Okay. I'll have to go quick. My name is Kim Kraft, Assistant Business Manager of Local 11 International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. I have two studies on PLAs that I'm here to present you with. First, a 21-page study of 17 PLAs from 2001 through 2009 in the city of Los Angeles, totaling $877,968,194. The study was compiled by the Los Angeles Department of Public Works, Bureau of Contract Administration. Their concerns and the Bureau's conclusions. Will the PLAs cost the city more? No. Will the PLAs help level the playing field? Yes. In the event the union rate is higher than the prevailing wage rate, will the union, non-union contractor have to pay the higher rate? No. The question of additional costs for benefits. Based on certified payroll of 72 non-union contractors over 13 various public works projects, Only 10 of the 72 provide any form of benefits. All union contractors provide health, pension, and training benefits. Will the PLAs help the city's local hire goals? Yes. Will the city's compliance efforts benefit from PLAs? Yes. There's also a second study done by UCLA on PLAs. It's available at www.laLaborEducation.com.
Thank
and
you.
In closing, if I can be allowed.
Thank you. No, because if I do that to you, and okay. I want to, but I'd have to give it to everybody.
I've got copies of all the
please,
reports.
Please submit them. Maria Elena DeRosso, Karen Gorman, Ray Vandenette.
Elena Durazo, Los Angeles County Federation of Labor, and board members, good afternoon. I'm here to very briefly say that we are supportive, we're excited, we think this is such a great, great step forward for our entire community, for men and women who are really anxious to work and need to work and need good jobs. So I'm here to support the proposal and the work around the PLA, and also amendment to the PLA to make it even stronger for both business and workers in the county of Los Angeles. So thank you all very much. I said I'd be brief.
Thank you.
My name is Ray Vandernet. I'm also with the L.A. Orange County Building Trades Council. Here again, of course, to speak with, I think, a majority of the people you have out in the audience today that are all in favor of moving a project labor agreement forward between the Expo Line and the Building Trades Council. Everyone has gone over, I think, on numerous different occasions, the benefits that that agreement is going to provide for both the area residents, the people who need jobs, especially in this poor economy, and how everyone else in the surrounding communities are going to greatly benefit from this community-wide based agreement. Thank you.
Thank you. See, that'll bring us to Ryan Wiggins, Reverend Logan, Manny Hernandez. Please come forward.
Good afternoon, Ryan Wiggins with Transportation for America. We're a national campaign working on the federal transportation bill. We work on the whole comprehensive set of transportation systems, and mass transit systems, well-planned mass transit systems, don't just move people. They also promote economic development, and if planned correctly, they can actually create really good jobs. For example, Measure R in L.A. County purported to create 166,000 jobs. Those jobs don't need to just be one-time jobs, jobs that don't provide people a ladder to get better, to better their lives, to give them a stair-stepping to the middle class. They also need to go ahead and make sure that people have benefits, that the communities that they're coming from receive the economic development. And that's what PLAs can do. We're working on the federal level to institute these into the federal transportation bill provisions, and we support them in general. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, esteemed board. I am Dr. Lewis Logan, pastor of Ruach Christian Community Fellowship, and I am a partner with the Los Angeles and Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council, and I stand here or come to you in support of the PLA. I have, as a pastor, experienced firsthand the devastation of the recent economic blight in our communities, and I stand wholeheartedly behind the passage of this PLA. I think that it will enhance and enable those who have been devastated disproportionately an opportunity to be enfranchised into what appears to be an approaching opportunity for economic empowerment and advancement. I'm going to close by suggesting, as I've looked in the young eyes of these budding young youth build program participants, they are not unlike the youth who are standing up for justice in Egypt. We've started a process. This PLA agreement will help us to complete it. Let's be about the work. Let's do this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doctor.
Good afternoon, board members. My name is Manuel Hernandez, and I am community organizer with Strategic Concepts in Organizing and Policy Education. I moved to South LA about 15 years ago. I completed high school here in South Los Angeles, and I was very fortunate to get a career in community organizing with my organization. I speak to hundreds of South LA residents on a monthly basis, and it saddens me that most of the stories from our members are about the lack of access to good-paying jobs in our communities, them losing their homes to foreclosures, not having the opportunity to have good-paying opportunities in their own communities. I talked to also other folks in South Los Angeles. They expressed that they see a lot of construction jobs and projects going on in their surrounding neighborhoods, and they themselves don't have access to these jobs. They see workers coming from other counties and other states to work on these projects. So we're here to support a strong project labor agreement at the Expo Phase 2 to be able to share this message with our members in the very near future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and we've been joined by Director Jan Perry, James Schoen, Ernest Roberts, Dwayne Johnson.
Johnson. I'm a part of the Coalition for Responsible Community Development, and I want to talk about my program a little bit. We take our community youth and connect them with training and apprenticeships so we can begin a career in a skilled craft training or a trade. here to talk about the opportunity that we really are looking for in our communities to work on these large projects that you guys got going on.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Okay. Thank you.
How do you do? My name is James Son. I'm the Chief of Facilities for the Los Angeles Unified School District. I represent 6,000 or 7,000 maintenance and operations workers as well as the bond-funded staff, and I'm here to talk a little bit about our experience with the PSA. We enacted it, or we approved it, in 2003. We have renewed it 3 separate times, and we are very, very pleased with the outcomes with the PSA. We've had thousands and thousands of jobs created through the program, and we have avoided any jurisdictional issues, any conflicts, and no work stoppages as a result of our agreement and the PSA. So I'm here in support of that.
Thank you. Ernest. Ernie.
Hi. Ernest Roberts with PV Jobs. We placed over or close to 4,000 individuals in construction employment over the years in many construction projects. And I can tell you that the project labor agreements are probably the best way to ensure that the local and average hire provisions of policies and programs get implemented. There's a substantial need in the community, as you know I can testify to, the numbers of people that are coming through, the dearth of opportunities that are available, especially for at-risk individuals. They don't have a lot of opportunities, and the construction industry has been gracious enough to support these initiatives and push these initiatives forward. I think it's only proper that we support the creation of a PLA to assist them in providing these services to the community.
Thank you. Thank all of you. Carlton Ross, Madeline Broaddus, Beth Steckler. Afternoon, rather.
Afternoon.
Just don't mix those.
My name is Madeline Broaddus, and I'm now a journeyman in sheet metal, Local 105 here in Los Angeles. I also live right here in the area on the gauge, and I'm here to say that we need those PLA jobs to start sooner than later. Presently, I've been unemployed for over a year, since November 2009, and I just got an eviction notice. Work is needed for my children and I to live and eat. And it's not only me in this kind of predicament. It's a lot of skilled union workers in my situation and worse, losing their houses. We need those PLA jobs to start sooner and not later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Carlton Ross. I'm here for the Coalition for Responsible Community Development. And we're like young youths. And we want to support the PLA project, and because it's tough times in our community, there's a lot of opportunity that we would like to work on and use our skill and trade and that opportunity, and that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, thank you for coming down.
Hi, my name is Beth Steckler. I'm with Move LA. And you're probably familiar with Move LA, very instrumental in the passage of Measure R, putting the coalition together, as well as 3010. And one of the great promises of 3010 is economic stimulus. And for that economic stimulus to happen, to have effects locally, we really need to have local hires. We're in support of the PLA. We think it's important that Expo show early that PLA is something that we'll embrace, that we will get support in the community by employing the community. As you know, California has the third highest unemployment rate in the country, and what we've just heard from one person in particular who is facing eviction, it's real. We all know it's real. And so this is our opportunity to really make a difference with our neighbors. Please support the PLA.
Thank you. Thank you very much. David Rivera, Bill Thomas, Owen Smith, please come forward.
Thomas, I'm with Robnet Electric. We're a local contractor working on Expo 1. I support the PLA agreement. We support it because it allows contractors to actually employ local people and give them actually better jobs and a better entry into union jobs. We also would really like the component to be for small businesses. If local contractors don't have access to some of the work, some of the projects, then really it doesn't really affect the community as well. Not only do we need a PLA, but we need a strong component for local businesses. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is David Rivera. I'm the president of DSG Mechanical Corporation. We're a small business enterprise, a minority business enterprise, and a disadvantaged business enterprise. 3 years ago, when the economy began to slow down, we jumped into the public sector from the private sector. But however, for a small business to jump into the public sector, we needed to learn how to navigate through this process. There's been a few groups out there that have been instrumental in helping us. We're able to find opportunities with the help of Los Angeles Metro, LAUSD, and the City of Los Angeles Minority Business Opportunity Center. They all have great training programs for small businesses and learning how to navigate through the contracting process on public projects. The second part that has made things easier for us was becoming a union contractor. If I need to staff up and add 40 workers, we're able to get 40 skilled workers that have been trained in the same program, and we know the quality of people that we're getting. Man, that went quick.
Finish your thought, Mr. Rivera.
I'm sorry. Anyhow, we're working on three PLA projects right now, LAUSD, LAX, and Rio Hondo, and we really support this PLA.
Thank
I think it would be instrumental for this.
Thank you. When the yellow light comes on, you don't have to...
This is my first time.
You know, stop in the middle of a sentence. Please finish your thoughts. Yes, sir.
My name is Owen Smith. I'm a local contractor. I've been living in Los Angeles for a long time. I did most of the Red Line, part of the Green Line, and we've done quite a bit of public work. I support the PLA. I think it allows training opportunities for people. It's a level playing field, so you... Everyone gets fair wages. I urge that you support it. It's a very good deal for everybody. Thank you.
No, thank you for coming. In fact, thank everybody for taking time out from their busy schedule to come and provide us with your input. I'd like to call up Michael Richardson, Annabelle Berrigan, and John Walsh. Please come forward. Mr. Richardson, I think I called first. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Richardson. I'm the assistant manager of the WeBuild program. What we're going to do, because we work together, Annabelle's going to take the entire 2 minutes and give you an overview of the WeBuild program.
Okay, I generally don't allow that to happen, but since you have such an infectious smile, I don't know how I can refuse.
Thank
Go
you.
Right ahead, Annabelle.
Good afternoon. My name is Annabelle Berry, and I'm actually the program manager for LAUSD's WeBuild program. Committee members, as you know, we have a $20 billion school construction program that does have a PLA. Since 2004, we've had over 88,000 workers come through LAUSD. of those 88,000 workers, we've had 35,000 workers that we considered local district residents, which is about 40%. We put $1.2 billion back in wages, and we feel that this is important. We've had also have the WeBuild program, which is a 10-week pre-apprenticeship training program that helps local district residents get into a union apprenticeship program. With that, we've had over 1,600 individuals that have completed the program. We find that this program has been very successful, and that we're just here to talk about the numbers, and I'm up with my 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was good. Mr. Walsh, good to see you over here.
John Walsh, blocking it. Wait a second, 3 minutes. Public comment, limited. 3 minutes.
Hold his time. You get 3 minutes when you speak on multiple items. Okay?
Well, last time it said...
John, come on, John. I've always treated you
respectfully.
Well, then
I'm going to talk on three items. Amend my card.
No, you're going to speak on what you signed up to speak on now. So don't argue with
me.
You're not going to be arrested. You're not going to be thrown out.
Oh,
no? All the things that you're going to say.
I could have done it other places.
I've never done that.
3 minutes here last time I was here. You've changed the rules.
No. Not on public
comment. You have changed the rules.
You had in multiple... Mr. Simmons,
60 seconds. There's only one thing I can do in 60 seconds, and I can't mention it here.
You're wasting your time. I tell you what, I'm prepared to give you 1 minute, starting from now, to make your comment.
I want to talk to the working people here. If you trust these people that they're going to be union jobs, you're out of your mind. Because the federal government, you see the story in the LA Times by Dan Weichel 2 weeks ago? The FBI, the federal government is investigating all these contractors. What do you think they're investigating them on? Labor compliance. They're not going to hire you. Crooked politicians build crooked rails. That's what happened. The Pasadena line was built by a different group. Look at this group. The Hispanics out here. Not one single Hispanic on this board of directors. I guess you don't exist. Not one Asian. I don't guess you don't exist. Just these crooked politicians. HollywoodHighlands.org. You're tens of millions over budget. You're years behind schedule. And you dangle this. Look. Maria DeRazzo, she's interested in one thing, jobs from Antonio. Don't trust her. Don't trust her.
Okay.
You'll see. They'll sell you out. There's not one Hispanic up here. One of them.
Okay.
How come?
Thank you.
How come there are no Hispanics? How come?
Now, aren't you glad? Aren't you guys glad that he didn't get 3 minutes? Hugo Rossiter, or Rossiter, Kevin Norton, Pat Stewart.
I'm going to need a little help with that one as well.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Hugo Rossiter. I'm a deputy city attorney with the City of Los Angeles, and I'm here because Mr. John Remer of our Bureau of Contract Administration has a conflict this afternoon, and I work with Mr. Remer very closely on the project labor agreements, as Councilmember Perry knows. And if there are any questions with regard to this issue of the city's experience with regard to the cost of adjusting jurisdictional disputes under the PLA, I'm happy to give whatever information you desire. And if you don't want any, that's okay, too.
Okay, well, why don't you stick around for a tad?
Okay.
Well, hi, good morning, Mr. Chairman.
1 second.
Excuse me, would you like me to step back?
Not yet.
Be available?
I was going to ask him to stay in the event that we...
Okay.
And then we would be able to... Some questions. Okay, next I think it's you, Kevin.
Good afternoon. PLAs create good local jobs, opportunities for small contractors. Building trades careers create ladders to the middle class. The average NECA contractor, which would be contemporaries in the contractor side, nationwide has 15 employers or less. So we have a vested interest in local small contractors succeeding and thriving by working on local projects. Our opponents in the ABC represent a very small group of 57 ideologically anti-worker, anti-labor contractors who oppose everything from safety standards in construction to legislation in California that would decertify an apprenticeship program that did not graduate one apprentice in 3 years. Listen to the experts that are here, whether it's the contractors, the customers, community organizations, PLA's work. Thank you.
Okay, good to see you. Mr. Tommy Favé.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Pat Stewart. I got into construction.
Oh, wait a minute. What happened to Tommy? Oh, Tommy, you're coming up. Yeah, because I was getting ready to say you lost a lot of weight and changed. And
I think they should fight for the chair.
Okay. No, you get
and we're fighting for the chair. He gets it.
Yeah, from all of us. Anyway, but you...
Okay.
You
my name is Pat Stewart, and I got into construction in 1984. My dad ran the freight elevators at Crocker Towers, and I've been real fortunate to have a good career in construction. I'm for this PLA. It's going to give other people that same opportunity, a chance to go through apprenticeship, a chance to really give back to the community. And it creates a level playing field for contractors to compete on. We want people to compete for the right reasons, because they have the best skilled, best trained workers, because they pay what they should pay, because they have benefits and health care. We don't want to see it be a race to the bottom where you have contractors coming in competing on the workers. Because let's face it, material costs and everything is pretty much the same for everybody. So if somebody's much lower than someone else, it's coming off the workers' backs. And PLAs help ensure that that doesn't happen. Again, it creates a level playing field for people to compete on, and it gives a career to people, a chance to have a good opportunity to work and to give back to the community with a job that pays enough for them to be able to buy a house, pay taxes, and do all those things. So I'm asking you guys to do the right thing and move forward with this PLA. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I thought you went on a strict diet, man. It was a whole new you for a minute.
Don't try to get my wife to give me a strict diet. Tommy Favé.
Go on.
I live, just to say, I'm an electrical worker. I live in the city of Carson. And I can say this, when it comes to being, you know, working together with the trades and going through apprenticeship program and graduating from a state-approved apprenticeship program, I can say that the union does not discriminate against non-union workers. I was a non-union worker at one time in the industrial field. I worked at least 3 years in the industrial field non-union. And then when I finally met up with the organizer, he said, hey, you know, all you have to show is a couple of years of experience, high school diploma, paycheck stubs, and we can give you a chance to come in, opportunity to come into the apprenticeship program. So 10 years later, changed my life, you know, have family, have a house, you know, 4 kids, and it has done a lot for me, especially, you know, to move on and so forth. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. That closes our public comment and brings us to the consent calendar.
Item 5.
No, go right ahead.
Item 5A, monthly contract actions. 5B, award of project management systems hosting and professional services contract.
Okay, without objection, then we will adopt those items. What was it, item 5A?
Yes, and B.
And B. Okay, so then without objection, that will be the order.
Item 6A, Form Dell Station Platform Contract.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Let me say this. Members, what I want to do on Section 6 is we want to take up items 6A, B, and C, and then I'm going to ask for your indulgence so that we can go into a closed session and have a discussion. And then we'll hold 6D as well. So if we could go through items 6A, B, and C for now, and then when you finish with C, I'll make my request and see if it holds mustard with the our attorney. So 6A?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, item 6A deals with the addition of the Farmdale Station. We have a very limited opportunity to save money in the construction of that station by getting the foundations and walls and platforms, conduits, etc., installed before we start actual train testing and operations sometime in March. We believe this is in the best interest of getting the project done at the lowest cost, and what we're recommending is that you authorize entering into a contract amendment with our contractor in the amount not to exceed $3,170,000 to get that platform for the station at Farmdale in before we start running trains. The rest of the station, all the detailed architectural treatment and the rest of it can be done afterwards without impacting the train, but this work needs to be done prior to trains starting to operate.
If we do it now, would you think it would reduce any injury?
Certainly it helps with the safety aspect as well, because we'll have that platform in and workers won't have to be working during live train operations.
Okay, without objection, we'll adopt the staff report on item 6A, item 6B. Okay, so without objection on 6, did you move 6B? Okay. It's been moved and seconded, item 6B as well.
6A and B.
Okay, one abstention on 6A. But on 6B without objection. That brings us to 6C.
Contract package C2, unsuitable subgrade at La Brea, mechanically stabilized earth walls contract amendment.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this item deals with soft subgrade where we come off of a structure, we build up walls, and we call those MSE walls. Those walls have to sit on a very strong foundation of soil. When we went in and started working in this area, we found that the soil was soft and spongy. Our geotech consultant required the removal and replacement with stronger material in that area, and the total cost of that work was $380,066, and we request you approve that amount.
Okay, see no concerns where it relates to item 6C. We'll adopt the staff report on that item. Okay, let's read item 6C. Read item 6C.
6C?
E.
Phase 2 design build corridor contractors selection.
Okay, now on item 6C, based on some information that we received since the posting of the agenda, I'd like to make a request that we go into closed session to discuss these issues. It's my understanding in order to do that, it'll take a two-thirds vote. If we get the vote, then the one thing that we would discuss first in the session would be the appropriateness of the discussion, correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, because the matter is not agendized as a closed session, the board would have to vote by a two-thirds vote that there is a need to add the matter to the agenda and then to go into closed session for the purpose of determining whether closed session discussion is appropriate.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Berry.
Just for the matter of the public record, would our counsel give us an explanation as to the need to consider going into closed session?
Well, the purpose for having that particular discussion in closed session is the discussion of whether or not it is appropriate to go in there is a sensitive matter that might itself be the subject of a closed session discussion. That's why you would go into closed session for that purpose. But we first need to add the matter to the agenda because it's not agendized as a closed session. That's the two-thirds vote.
I'm not a lawyer, but not agendized as a closed session matter, then how do we legally go into closed session?
The way you go into closed session, if you wish to do so, is by a two-thirds vote. The vote that you are taking is a finding that a matter has come to the agency's attention since the posting of the agenda that requires the agenda to be amended to include a closed session on this particular item.
Ms. O'Connor, did you? Mr. Ridley Thomas.
Mr. Chairman, let me ask the question. Those items, N6E, that might have been pursuant to the work of the Inspector General, I think the board is in receipt of notification from the Inspector General. There's a confidential report that the board may wish to discuss, and at that point, it would seem to me, unless we can have a conversation about the documents in public, it would seem appropriate that the motion that you put before us ought to be sustained so that the Inspector General can advise the board of its findings. This was done in open session over the last two board meetings. The Inspector General has come back with a report that is deemed confidential. To the extent that it is confidential and it has bearing on the subject at hand, perhaps the Inspector General ought to give us some feedback, and we determine at that point whether or not we should be in closed session.
Well, one of the things I was going to request that she go into closed session with us as well.
Exactly.
Ms. Perry.
Yeah.
I was going to request that the Inspector General come into closed session as well, Ms. Perry.
Can we discuss the item?
I'm just trying to establish a basis on the public record. Again, a clearly drawn basis as to why we need to go into closed session on an item that isn't agendized, and I understand it's circular logic, right? But I don't feel comfortable voting affirmatively that we should until, for example, I don't have a copy of the Inspector General's report in my materials, and so I have no basis to vote affirmatively to do that because I haven't even seen that.
The Inspector General sent the report to all board members. Perhaps the Inspector General ought to come and indicate if such was the case or not.
If she has extra copies, I'd like to get one.
I'm sure we can get a copy.
Well, come on.
But before we... Whoa. Before... I have every intention to discuss this in the public as well. But I would like, if I can get the votes, to take this into closed session first. And then when we return, we will have the discussion. Now, that's the request that I'm making. In order for that to occur, we need how many votes? 4 out of 6 votes or 5? So we would need 5 yes votes to do that.
I move the agenda, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so why don't we ask for voice vote.
Director Molson.
I'll vote yes out of courtesy to the maker of the motion.
Thank you.
Director O'Connor?
Yes.
Director Perry?
I'd like to vote no at this time.
Director Ridley Thomas?
Yes.
Director Yaslovsky? Chair Wesson?
Yes.
Vote carried.
Okay, let us retire. You should be able, every director could bring one staff. You make the Ms.
Right.
Perry's making a motion that every director bring in one staff. It's been seconded, so that'll be the order.